You're listening to SBS News.
Children heading off to school on the bus. It's usually an uneventful ride, but the Cancer Council estimates during the journey to and from school, the youngsters will have been exposed to at least 25 adverts for unhealthy food and drinks, such as chocolate, burgers, chips, and fizzy drinks. A 2022 audit of Sydney buses found that more than 4 in 5 food ads were for unhealthy products. A similar audit on Melbourne's public transport network in 2019 found 2/3 of food and drink advertisements were for items high in fat, sugar and salt. The Cancer Council's nutrition manager, Claire Hughes, says the figures are troubling.
We know that unhealthy food marketing influences kids. It influences their food preferences. It influences the foods that they buy. It influences what they pester their parents to buy and ultimately their diet. So it does have a big impact on children's health.
A survey of secondary school students carried out in 2018 found children were twice as likely to ask a parent for food they had seen advertised. It also found children who were exposed to high levels of food or drink advertising were twice as likely to have tried a new product compared to those with low exposure. The results of this so-called pester power is no laughing matter. The Obesity Policy Coalition says around 67% of adults are in an unhealthy weight range and around 25% of children. The Coalition's Executive Manager Jane Martin says the problem starts early.
And the worrying thing is that people are entering these unhealthy weight categories at younger ages. So we've got 46% of 18 to 24-year-olds, so these are young adults, who are in an unhealthy weight category. And that puts you at risk of developing diseases like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers at younger ages because you're living longer with carrying this weight, and there are risks associated with that.
With research showing marketing of unhealthy items plays a key role in people's eating patterns, the Cancer Council is doing something about it. They're launching two new campaigns, one in New South Wales called Our Kids, Our Call, and another in Victoria titled Food Fight. Their message is the same, that unhealthy food marketing targeting kids needs to be stopped. Claire Hughes is especially worried about vulnerable groups of young people who tend to have high rates of obesity and other health issues, which junk food marketing exacerbates.
There are sort of higher rates in remote and regional areas and also in socioeconomically disadvantaged groups. So we want to ensure that we're addressing those equity issues associated with healthy eating too. And that's why addressing the food environment is so important.
Jane Martin says giving individuals information and asking them to make changes is not enough to make a significant impact. She says the pricing and promotion of food also needs to change.
Around 1/3 of the energy in the diets of adults and children, even more in adolescent boys, is coming from these processed foods which are high in salt, fat, sugar, and are not part of a healthy diet. So we really need to shift the marketing, we need to shift the pricing, we need to shift the promotions, the price promotions in favour of healthy foods.
Governments are looking at their policies. In December, the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, launched the 10-year National Preventative Health Strategy. He said the focus of the health system would shift from treating people once they are unwell to keeping people healthy.
Every journey is of a finite duration. Every life is of a finite duration. But public health is about giving us the longest, best quality life, of removing those things which will impair that quality of life or reduce that length of life. And ultimately, those are the two great outcomes that we seek to change.
But the Cancer Council and the Obesity Policy Coalition say government policy has too often been found wanting. This month, the federal government published the National Obesity Strategy for the next 10 years. It will guide governments and partners as they take actions to prevent obesity. At the time of its publication, the Obesity Policy Coalition expressed hope that it would mark a turning point, commenting that little action had been taken in the 10 years since the last strategy to combat obesity. A 2015 report by the OPC noted ongoing failures to protect children from unhealthy food marketing because it was largely a voluntary, self-regulatory system operated by the food and advertising industries themselves. In a presentation to the Australian Prevention Partnership Centre in 2016, Deakin University food policy expert Dr. Gary Sachs said there was a very good understanding of what needed to be done, just a lack of consistent follow-through.
WHO have a whole series of reports, I'm just flicking through them there, which all have long lists of recommendations of what governments need to be doing to create healthy food environments. There's also WHO have targets in place for NCD prevention, there's global monitoring frameworks, so really good idea of what needs to be done, but we also know that internationally countries have been pretty slow to take up these recommendations, and so that's led to a focus on accountability.
Within Australia, Claire Hughes says there is only one government that has banned junk food advertising from public transport where kids are most likely to see it.
Currently in Australia, the ACT is the only state or territory government that has implemented controls on what foods can and can't be promoted on public transport. And that has seen a reduction in the unhealthy food promotion. It's also something that we've seen in London with Transport for London implementing policy basically prohibits junk food marketing on Transport for London venues.
Jane Martin says there are many things governments could try in addition to banning junk food ads on public transport. She says a levy on sugary soft drinks in the UK successfully reduced their consumption.
That had an impact on how many of these drinks people consumed, but it also, the levy was on manufacturers, and if they lowered their sugar content, they paid a lower levy on those drinks, and that's what happened. So a lot of drinks were reformulated, and that's meant a huge reduction in the amount of sugar, added sugar, that the population of Britain is consuming.
The Obesity Policy Coalition and Cancer Council say the right policies and the right campaigns can work, and they hope parents and governments will be mobilised to make positive changes because it is a matter too important to ignore. Deborah Grawk, SBS News.